I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How childlike are you? We're going to just kind of score ourselves mentally today as we go along. Very different from being childish. It's not how childish are you. These are the good traits. The good traits. How childlike are you? A lot of you have been asking about, I've had a couple people calling me Howard Hughes. I papered up my door and I've shut myself in writing this book, One Word, and its companion book. And things are going so well. I can't let myself start talking about it because it won't stop. It's like Colin said, it's a problem. No one I share. We go to a support group together. But my goodness, it is just crazy, incredible stuff that is going on. It is doing so much more than I imagined as I'm going through the second draft. And oh, this half sentence in Mark should just be above this Luke and Matthew. And oh my goodness, it's a new story by just moving five words up two lines. And all of a sudden, things just lock in and then it points to the Old Testament and you bring that in. And this is how it works. And I'm amazed. I can't wait to share that. I'm not sharing that stuff with you today. Well, actually, I am kind of, I guess. I am because I've been really encouraged this week. It's kind of funny because, as you probably know, I've used, like over the summer, I kept going back to Isaiah's line upon line principle as the, you know, precept, 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 precept. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a line here, line upon line. It could be cord upon cord, rope upon rope, here a little, there a little. And I have used that principle as the basis for weaving the Gospels into chronological order without guesswork. And so this week when I had to switch to the sermon, it's like, oh, I hate to put the book down, but okay, I'll work on the sermon. And it just was funny because God gave me the biggest encouragement because we're just going chronologically through Jesus' ministry. I can't wait to show you what he says today. But first, I just want to give you a review of Isaiah's principle because it's kind of a strange passage. I've condensed it a little bit. Woe to the crown of pride. And you might recall that when we left off, Jesus was saying woe to the cities who had rejected him. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards. We talked about this, that funny thing where God says his word will cause those who sip to be drunk. But if you drink it down to the dregs, it clears your head. It's just a funny passage. So the drunkards are the ones that won't drink much of his word. It's very specific here. So woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards who don't think they need it. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one who will bring them down to the earth. And when we left off, he's saying, woe to you cities, you're going to be brought down. With his hand, that's his yad, his teaching, they are swallowed up by wine, overwhelmed, confused in God's word. They err in vision because they don't know it. They stumble in judgment. How to apply it? For all tables are full of vomit and filth. And I never realized how important this was to this passage. I always just thought, oh, let's get past the vomit line. No place is clean, but it's really important, no? They're full of vomit and filth. Whom will he teach knowledge? Knowledge of what? According to Jesus, knowledge of everything. Everything hidden is meant to be revealed. Everything concealed is meant to be brought out. And whom will he make to understand the message? What message? Isaiah will tell us. Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breasts, and he doesn't answer the question, but we know from context that it's got to be yes. But why do they have to be weaned? What are they weaned from? And how does this tie into the drunkards, and why are they vomiting? And then he shows what the message is. Whom will he make understand the message? For the message is, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. You know, Matthew, purple, Mark, blue, Luke, green, John, brown. Precept means teaching, instruction, line or rope or cord upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. That's the message. for with stammering lips and another tongue, as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is exactly what he gave us. Four purposely partial gospels that combine into one, if you weave according to his word. He will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, this is the refreshing. You got to follow God's instructions on how to get to it. You don't get to just grab some pieces and make up your own and say, oh, I'm going with these four verses and I think they mean this. God hasn't, that's what the drunkards do. Yet they would not hear. And so what happens? Ooh, it's the same word, but different result. But the word of the Lord, that's scripture, the Bible, the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, for the purpose of that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. In other words, the list from the top of the page, that they might go and be proud and drunk and swallowed up and overcome and err and stumble and vomit. They got to be weaned off of something, and we're going to find out. Jesus is in Jerusalem with the 72. He's just publicly denounced the woeful, prideful cities that will be brought down and trampled on because they've rejected the good news of his gospel in spite of all his confirming miracles. And both Luke and Matthew tell us what happened immediately after he publicly denounced them. It says, at that time... And Luke, they're almost identical. Luke adds one piece. It's a critical piece, too. Rejoiced in the Spirit, because the Spirit is the Word. At that time, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. Stop for a second right there. Because wise and prudent are very positive words. According to Proverbs, wisdom's goal is to make us wise and prudent. So why would God hide truth from the wise and prudent? It doesn't make sense. Which means it's a riddle. It's a riddle. Let's solve it. So you've hidden these things. So he's, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, other translations just say, yes, because this is, he answered and said, this is his answer. Yes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And so I went in and I looked. I can't find what Jesus is answering. There's no question. So I looked up the word, maybe, no, it's a very, answered and said is used when they want to make sure answered means answered, otherwise it'll just say said. There's two words, he answered and said, but there's no question, there's no setup, there's no situation that he's answering to. I'm using the New King James on this because NIV leaves out the word answered because they could find no question. You don't leave words out. You don't do that. You can't leave out a word. But he answered something, someone, and said. So this became the first, excuse me, my communion bread's jumping out of my mouth. I didn't know I had a piece left. So surprise me. So who's he answering? Who's he answering? I gotta know. Well, it says, Luke tells us that he rejoiced in the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Word. And we know who he's talking to because he says, thank you, Father. So he's rejoicing in the Spirit, which is the Word, and he's answering the Father. So the question is, where in the Word does the Father ask the question that Jesus' response would be an appropriate answer for? And I went looking, and to my surprise, there is only one place. Any guesses? Isaiah 28, the line upon line chapter. And when I saw that, I'm, okay, I got to put the book down, and I got to work on the sermon, and oh, who's he answering? And I go, and it takes me right back to what I've been using as the basis for the entire work. I almost cried. It's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. He's answering Isaiah. Because remember, the question isn't answered. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message of line upon line, here a little, there a little? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? And Jesus says, yes, yes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. You've hidden it from the wise and prudent. You've revealed it to little children. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Let's line upon line Isaiah here a little. Chapter 38, 65 and 5 says, I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. Those who change God's word in a drunken attempt to give God grace and repair what they think is broken. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They don't realize it because they're drunk. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And looky there, it's the answer to Jesus' riddle. The wise and the prudent. Okay, so the question is, why would God hide the truth from the wise and the prudent? Because when we line upon line Isaiah, we find that Isaiah describes in chapter 5 the people he's talking about in chapter 28. They're wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And you wouldn't know this from what Jesus says, because he simply says the wise and prudent, and it doesn't make sense until you understand that he's saying, yes, Isaiah, it has to be to children, line upon line, thought on thought, here a little, there a little. Jesus isn't just answering Isaiah. He's weaving Isaiah. This is like 3D chess or something. Because he's got the what is good in your sight from chapter 38. He's got the prudent in their own, the wise and the prudent from chapter 5. But he's answering the question in chapter 28. And thereby he's demonstrating the very principle that he's confirming. And that's how he put the Old Testament together. And that's how he taught his disciples to present the new. Because that's how it works. He's chopped it up so that you come to him so he can put it together with you. So that we will learn to humble ourselves. And it's incredible, because I'm seeing as I'm putting the Gospels together, as they're coming together, they're overflowing their borders, and they're starting to pull in the Old Testament, and they're starting to weave everything together. It's crazy. But to learn, we must become first what he has called us first to be. Children. Children. Why children? Because they're not wise in their own eyes. I'm talking about little. He mentions little children. Because as they get bigger, that changes. They start turning into us. But little children, they're not wise in their own eyes. Little children are humble. And they're not heavy drinkers. That's for sure. They know that they don't know pretty much anything. They know that they don't know pretty much anything, but it doesn't freak them out. That's their reality. And they accept that. So how do you score on that, huh? To be taught everything, we must know that we know nothing and not be freaked out by that. Or else we'll deceive ourselves. And Isaiah reassures us that God's children are given a huge help in this department. Chapter 9, he says, for unto us a child is born. We get a child of our own that we can look to lead us. Unto us a son is given. Yeah, our son, the Son of Man, and the government will be upon his shoulder. He'll show us how it's done. He'll lead the way. And his name will be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, because they're one, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it. You got to put it in order, line upon line, with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. His love, his passion for the word of God, his seeing how it works. These pictures go together. That's another thing little children have. Little children are eager. They have zeal, you know? They want to know everything. Sure, they are aware that they know nothing, but they want to know everything. How's your score on that? When it comes to God's word, you'll seek me and find me when you search me with zeal, with all your heart. Thing that's limiting everyone from seeing everything in God's word is that they've concluded that what they don't know is unknowable. And they're unwilling to accept truth that isn't on their terms. And there's eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear. They're freaking out. Pride is only willing to accept truth on its terms. We like to build a little nest of stuff we think is true and then just sit in it. That's okay. I don't want to go beyond that. But you see, our terms usually, if not always, limit God's truth and life and authority. Jesus had zeal, and that's his appeal to us. And because of their eagerness to know everything, little children are curious. Oh, they're curious. They firmly believe that they can know everything if they just ask enough questions. Right? So much so, we often tell them to stop. Right? Shame on us. That's how we turn them into us. Stop. We only ask so many questions. Oh, questions. We put a cap on what we can know. We put a cap on what God's word can do. I'm learning it can do so much more than what we've allowed it. Putting God in a box is what adults do. It's why we quit before we ever begin. But it is insanely arrogant to tell God what he can and can't do in your life. We're never guilty of expecting too much out of God, but always expecting too little. Yeah, but he didn't answer my prayer for this. You were expecting too little. Look beyond it. I don't see how it could be positive. It's in the word. But you got to find it. So let's line upon line for a moment and listen to the Lord. Mostly Isaiah. There's a couple toward the end here wove in, but mostly Isaiah. Write it before them. We're going to find out what these kids are weaned from and why they're vomiting. And here we go. In fact, I should just tell you the punchline so that you get it all the way through. It ends up being self-sufficiency, okay? That's what it ends up being. They got to be weaned from self-sufficiency because it'll cause them to vomit everything back up. Here we go. Write it before them on a tablet and note it on a scroll that it may be for a time now. And this is the book of Isaiah we're talking about. God's telling Isaiah, write it down. Okay, and we have it. That it may be for time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. Well, he's talking to us and everyone forever. Lying children, children who will not hear the instruction of the Lord, which he's already said is line upon line, has to be here a little, there a little, thought on thought. Woe to those who rise early, that's us, that they may follow intoxicating drink. I hope that's not us. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands, his word. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, cord upon cord. I could give him grace. I can fix this broken book. And sin as if with a cart rope upon rope. Woe to those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me, and who devise plans, literally a web or a veil, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin upon sin instead of line upon line, using the same word of God. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment, because they're trying to stack what they've only sipped. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. Why? Pause and wonder. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. But that's what he's been saying the whole way through. He said, those are symbols. Pause and wonder. For the Lord has poured out on you and me the spirit of deep sleep and has closed our eyes. The whole vision has been, that's what he writes in the book. The whole vision has become to us, to you, me, like the words of a book that is sealed. And their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Precept on precept. Even the sea monsters. I never thought I'd be working the sea monster into a sermon, but here it is. That's what we got to be weaned from. Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. Remember, Jesus, you brood of vipers. The Lord, with his severe sword, his word, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Leviathan, that's the sea monster, that twisted serpent. Who can straighten what God has made crooked? And he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. In that day, sing to her a vineyard of red wine. Why? Because that's a symbol he uses for what we have to be weaned from off of the dragon. We must be weaned from that brood of serpents that are self-sufficient. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he spares it and does not forsake it, but still keeps it in his mouth, it becomes cobra venom within him. He swallows down the riches of God's word and vomits them up again because they're not right. He will suck or suckle the poison of cobras. The viper's tongue will slay him. In his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress. They got to be weaned from the serpent who's feeding them poison by telling them, just go into the Bible and make it say whatever you want. Pick some scriptures and say, here's a good thing. You got to be weaned. Here's the thing about little children. Little children are not self-sufficient. They panic when mom and dad go. Oh, they know when they're lost. They are deeply dependent and they know it. They live it each day. They rely on that. And little children are accustomed to being wrong. It's part of their world. Being corrected, but that comes with being. They're not embarrassed about being wrong. They're accustomed to being corrected. Not embarrassed about being wrong. That is something we learn as we grow in pride. Little children are open How are you doing on this? How are you scoring here? Little children are open. They believe in miracles and magic. If I tell a child that they can know everything about God and the Bible completely because it's a matching game made for kids. Well, you might look at me like I'm crazy, and some of you have. Though I'm going to prove it to you that it is in the near future. But a child would say, what are we waiting for? Let's do it. I mean, if that's what he made, if that's what it is, I don't care if no one's ever done it. I don't care what everyone says about it. If that's what it is in there, and you can show me the instructions, let's do it. And that's what we're doing as a church. With children, they haven't learned to be cynical about God, and we don't realize how cynical believers are about God. It hides inside of us. When has God ever acted in a predictable fashion? And God doesn't act in a predictable fashion, and we think he doesn't love us, and he's not answering our prayers our way, and so he's not here. And he's so unpredictable because he's straight and true, and we're drunk. Little children are playful. They work hard at playing. That's why I chose this picture. She got the red cheeks and she's asleep on dad's shoulders. Like, kids have been playing hard. They're not lazy with their play. They love hide and seek and treasure hunts. Whereas adults usually prefer their religion to resemble a business transaction. And little children cry out for help. And we teach ourselves not to. They're not embarrassed to admit they don't know things and that they need someone to come to their rescue. Isaiah 30 says, therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. He'll wait. Blessed are all those who wait for him. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When you're in his word, waiting for him, looking for an answer, seeking his face, and crying out, when he hears it, he will answer you. But if you're a stranger to his word, and you're just crying out because you think he's this, and he should answer it this way, and this is what I want, he'll wait for you. He'll wait for you. And children are not ashamed to ask for exactly what they need. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation and work it out with fear and trembling. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Because above all, little children are trusting and loving and just cuddly. So how childlike are you? How childlike am I? Jesus' answer to the Father's question that is posed in Isaiah 28 is all about what we're doing right now. This is how it works. I couldn't be more excited. Because it's not just the Gospels, it's the whole everything. And Jesus goes on to elaborate on Isaiah 28, but sadly, we don't until next Sunday, because we have to end it right there. But oh, he just continues to quote Isaiah 28 and apply it to himself. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for hiding these things from the wise in their own eyes and revealing them to humble little children. Holy Spirit, help us to be little children. We cry out to you to empower us to be humble and eager and curious and correctable and open and deeply dependent. Help us grow up. Lord Jesus, we love you. We trust you. And we're ready to play. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.